This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We are in chapter 2. We studied last week the first hadith, but we didn't finish the fiqh of it. Which hadith? النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The two hadith, hadith حذيفة and hadith أم سلمة. Narrated حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تشربوا في آنية الذهب والفضة ولا تأكلوا في صحافها فإنها لهم في الدنيا ولكم في الآخرة. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها متفق عليه. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الذي يشرب في آنية الفضة إنما يجرجر في بطنه نار جهنم. متفق عليه. That the Prophet ﷺ said, do not drink in silver or gold utensils, and do not eat in plates of such metals. For such things are for them, the disbelievers, in this worldly life, and for you in the hereafter. Agreed upon. Also narrated Umm Salama radiallahu anha that Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, he who drinks in silver utensil is only swallowing hellfire in his stomach. Reported by Bukhari or Muslim. And we said there is another hadith for that last one, silver or gold. Okay. Innama fi ina'i al-fiddati wal-dhahab. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Or al-dhahab wal-fiddah. And we talked about that these utensils, if it's made from pure gold or pure silver, and we said that's absolutely haram and absolutely forbidden in Islam. And there is nothing can shows otherwise that it is just dislike anything. The hadith is very explicit in two different way, a direct order, do not eat or drink. And the other hadith telling us that this will lead to hellfire and only deeds which is considered muharramat lead to hell fire. And we said that we talk about can we make an analogy by saying what's about gold and silver plated utensils? Are they included or not? Al-ulama rahimahumullah has two positions. The first one said it is not allowed for you to use utensils that spoons or anything of that nature or plates that is silver plated or gold plated. Why? Because the same concept. Why did we say don't drink in gold and silver utensils? Because it shows arrogance. It is basically whatever reason for the first one will apply. It looks exactly like gold and silver. And the other group said no. Because it is very small amount. It's, the Prophet ﷺ forbid a pure gold plate, a pure gold spoon, a pure gold silver fork or knife. But if it's plated, it's very small amount. It's really not considered a big amount. Do small or big make a difference in ruling? Do small or big make a difference in rulings? العلماء رحمهم الله said, yes, it does. You know, when you have a very small amount of something, it will not take the ruling of that thing. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when someone, a man, asked about a thob, a dress that's made of silk, you know, men in Islam not allowed to wear pure silk, not synthetic silk. The pure silk is not allowed to wear it for men. Women allowed, but for men, no. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody asked him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if it's that much, and he put his two fingers together, in your clothes, it is allowed. So, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that exception, that much in your thobe, in your garment, will be permissible, because it's very small. So small amount always, while not, there is no rules are related to it. Also, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his cup was a crack in it. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam filled that crack with silver, or they made it for him, they fixed it with silver. It was a hole, actually, not a crack, holes. And in one of the narration, Israel, the Rawi, he said like this, like that big in the cup. And he put his three fingers together. It was filled with, it's like a piece of silver, to patch that hole in the cup. So that's a small amount comparing to the size of that cup. It's not one-fourth of it. It's less than that, less than one-third of it. So, and less than one-fourth, definitely, and definitely less than one-third. So it's a small amount made of silver. And al-ulama rahimahullah, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, so it will be acceptable. But a lot of ulama said you're allowed to use a small amount of silver, but they will not allow a small amount of gold. He said because the silver, the Prophet ﷺ used it, but the gold is not, there is no proof for it. Then one of the things also we said, but maybe we didn't talk about it, can you use gold and silver in other than utensils? And you can use it in other usage other than utensils. You might say, what about jewelry? Okay, jewelry. For women, absolutely it's allowed. But what about men? You know, this is another ruling that's not my area today to speak about. But for men, gold is not allowed. In Islam, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbid men to wear jewelry that's made of pure gold. Okay? As for silver, there is debate between the Muslim scholars. Is it allowed for silver or not? And many scholars said it is permissible. It is permissible. But here we talk about using silver and gold other than just a jewelry and other than utensils. Like, for example, watch, pen. Can you use the silver and gold? Let's say you have a plate, but it's not for food. This plate is to put flowers on it. You know, I told you before, you might have a jar, and this basically container, you're going to use it as a vase. And originally, maybe it's for serving drink. Okay, but you're going to use it for, it's made of silver. I want to keep it at home, or I win it, or I got it. You know, maybe you find a treasure from old days, and it has these things, gold. Can you use that? You know, I'm not going to use it for eating and drinking. We heard the Prophet said it's forbidden. But can I use it for other usage? The hadith is very specific. It's about you're not allowed to eat or drink. لا تأكلوا. He didn't say لا تستعملوا. The hadith didn't say don't use utensils or elements that made of silver or gold. No. He said, don't eat in utensils that made of silver or gold. That's why Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the Zahiri ibn Hazm and his followers, and many other scholars like As-Sanani, As-Shawkani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, from the Hanabila, and the long list said, it is allowed for you to use gold and silver in other usages, other than utensils. So, that's what they said. There is also a good number of scholars said no. You should not use gold and silver like pen or watch. Watch, it will be interesting. Is watch a form of jewelry? Or it is just a way to track time? I think we can debate over that. That's why I love what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said. Qal Shaykh al-Islam, it depends on what is your intention and what is the common use is. So if the common use for it and the use, let's say a pen, but I really wearing this pen which is made of gold or plated with gold, not because it is good pen. No, it is became a part of what? Jewelry. It is something to beautify me. In this case, that pen take the rule of jewelry. If you wear the watch because I like the way it looks, it's like looks like a bracelet, you know, in this kind of watch, we said, no, you're not allowed to wear it. But if it does happen to be Rolex, for example, and it's plated gold or certain part of it has gold in it, we say it is permissible. It is permissible. But I do believe that it is much better for the person to abstain from such things. You know, and that will go farther to plate, gold-plated cars, gold-plated, you know. If you open this door, the problem will be gold-plated, like you hear about these rich people, palaces, princes, queens. You go to Europe, then all this royal family in Europe, if you go to their palaces, their bathrooms, their, you know, or in Gulf countries, you will see, or you hear, even I heard in the White House as well, you will see that these are plated gold, some of it, and stuff of that nature. All this, really, it's the wrong usage that the Muslim scholar said of what is gold meant for. Gold and silver are meant to be the asset for the economy, is not for you to utilize it in such things like that. Because it can end up with what we call it wasting the money. Can you imagine? I saw a car plated gold, the whole entire car. That's just ridiculous. I don't think there is a faqih or a Muslim scholars will allow such practices, because that shows how much the person attacked. The Nabi Sallam said that drinking and eating and utensils made of gold, it make you so much attached to the dunya, give you so much arrogance. What do you think riding a car made of gold will know what it sounds like? Or sitting a toilet seat made of gold? No doubt, it's the same concept here. And no doubt, we will not allow stuff of that concept. Huh? Yeah, just to show it off. Yeah, and imagine poor people, how they feel about that. I remember when they entered the Libyans' president's palaces. You know, Libya is a very rich country, has a lot of oil, but people lived in poverty. And there's no many people there. There are very few of them. The whole entire population is very small. But he made everybody live in poverty. And when they walk, you see some of these videos, when they walk into his palaces, you know, and they saw, or in Egypt with Mubarak in certain places, and they start showing all these like gold-plated place and all these like luxury life, and your own people and people around you live in absolute poverty. That's absolutely wrong. Tayyib, al-ulama said, can we make analogy on gold and silver? And we say, if it is made of any expensive metal, like there is metals as expensive as gold and silver. Like what? Platinum, for example. Or let's say you have a cup has rubies and diamonds in it or stuff like that. Can you use it? The vast majority of the Muslim scholars said that will not take the same rules of gold and silver, because the hadith is specifically in gold and silver for a reason. We don't know, but those who said it's allowed to use a pen, for example, has diamond in it. Then they said, but you're not allowed to use a pen that is plated with gold. They contradict themselves. Either all of them is not allowed, or you allow both of them, in my opinion. Don't you agree? They contradict themselves. They say, because if you say the reason for the gold is to break the heart of the poor and the waste of money, apply to the same thing when you use diamonds and things of that nature. What about using these plates or jugs or cups for other than eating or drinking? If it's made of gold and silver, can I use it for purification? Just a plate and I put it for display. Can I do that? The answer for this, there is an interesting rules in Islam. It says, كل ما حرم استعماله مطلقا حرم اقتناؤه مطلقا. Anything you're not allowed to use it in any way or any form, you're not allowed to possess. In Islam, for example, I'm not allowed to use alcohol. Liquor is something I'm not allowed to use. So I'm not allowed to possess. So nobody said, you know what, I'm going to have, what do you, sorry, I'm not very well educated on the name of the liquors and stuff like that. But, you know, let's say, I don't know how the fancy one looks like. Let's say one of these, like, bottles look so, you know, unique, and I'm just going to put it for decoration. I'm not going to drink it. I'm just putting it there. But he said, this is not allowed to be used in any form or any shape. You're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to buy it. You're not allowed to cook with it. You're not allowed to drinking. So you're not allowed to possess it. Huh? Empty, it depends. If that jar or that cup, that's the only use for it, you're not allowed. That's why I don't, for example, believe you're allowed to possess tequila shots. Because these shots are only used for a khamr. Unless you're Arab and you wear coffee in it. I don't know. But if this is like, imagine there is a specific cups that's only used for khamr. Only used. But that the reality, even tequila shots, not like, you can use it in any other thing you want. So you're allowed to have it. But imagine something like, you're not allowed, like spoon. The only use for a spoon is to eat. So if it's a pure gold, you're not allowed to possess. Fork, the same thing. What about plates? What about jugs? No. Plates, some of them are not necessarily for food. Some of these plates are intended to be a decoration. So if there is a multiple use for it, we go back to the original discussion we had. Our plates that made of gold, if it's going to be used other than food, allowed to use? Those who said yes, which is, I believe it's the correct opinion, they will allow you to use it. I'm going to use it, for example, to just for decoration. I'm going to use it to put flowers in it. I'm going to put to use jewelry on it. I'm going to use it to put to use it a vase, like, you know, a big jar. I will use it as a vase. So in this case, it's permissible. Some Muslim scholars, they don't allow some music instruments, for example. There are some Muslims, not all of them, but some Muslim scholars believe that music instruments are not allowed. So those who believe that, they will tell you, you're not allowed to possess these instruments even if you don't use it. You know, like guitar or something, if let's say they believe. Those who believe it's forbidden, you say not allowed to have it as a decoration in your house. But those scholars who believe it's permissible, they said it's allowed, obviously, to have. One of the benefits from this hadith, that the Muslim should attach his heart to the hereafter. Why? Because that's the eternal life. While this life is temporary. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, you know, when if you fulfill all your desires in this dunya, what's left for the akhir? There is always the concept of different. There is this life and next life. Those who don't believe in next life, they want to do everything in this life. But it doesn't work. This life is not meant for fulfilling all your desires because it's not possible, number one. Two, some of these desires are not allowed to be fulfilled in certain ways. That's why you're always going to know that there is something left for the akhirah. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is for them in the dunya and for us in the akhirah. This luxury life, this spoil kind of life that you eat and drink and walk on gold and silver, this will be in paradise. That's why Aisha radiallahu anha, when she saw a group of women not wearing hijab and displaying their beauties and their, you know, chest and their legs and their hands and like, you know, she's, and they were not Muslims. So Aisha told, and there is a narration said that those Asma, told the woman around her, she said, you're looking at them, you know, I don't know how that feels because I don't wear hijab. So, but sisters who wear hijab or the cover, maybe they can relate to this more. But if I would imagine myself in your shoes, okay, and women like covering up, covering their hands, wearing all those long dresses and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. And you know about your beauty, why do you see some people showing and displaying their beauties? Kind of, you know, you feel, I wish I could also, I'm also beautiful, I'm also this. So, here she told them, it was very smart for him to tell them, it is for them in this life and for us in the hereafter. And in Jannah there is no hijab. So, that's what she told them, radiallahu anhu arda. One of the lessons that we can learn from this hadith, you should abstain and stay away from anything that make you arrogant. الابتعاد عن كل شيء يدخل الكبر على القلب. One of the goals of Islam is to protect your heart from having any form, any shape of arrogance. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said you will not enter paradise if you have master seed of arrogance. Just very little of arrogance will prevent you from entering Jannah, paradise. Because arrogance is the worst of all diseases. It is the mother of all sins. And we know that the Satan refused to prostrate himself before, after Allah ordered him, because of arrogance. He said, I'm better than Adam. I'm not going to do that. So, here, Islam came to close the door for anything that can lead to arrogance. Even if it doesn't necessarily lead to arrogance to everyone, because the rules are rules for everybody. It's not like, okay, you know what, if I eat and drink from gold and silver plates, I'm not going to be arrogant. Yeah, maybe you, but the rules come general, fit everybody. So that's why Islam closed that door, because that's basically just eating and drinking in this format, it shows certain level of arrogance. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, don't drag your clothes behind you out of arrogance, like how kings do that. They let their robes drag on the floor out of arrogance. The Prophet said, don't do that. Also, this hadith shows that wasting wealth and money is not allowed. Form of wasting the wealth is to transfer gold and silver for utensils. For spoons and plates and cups and that and things of that nature. That's a waste. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Do not waste your money. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Waster are the brothers of the shayateen, Allah said. The devil. Also, one of the lessons that we learn from this hadith, that there is things for them and there is things for us. We have to have that concept. And I think our community, our children, it's a good to hear that. There are certain things, maybe they can do it, but I can't do it. And I have to live with that. I have to know how to accept that. There are certain things I can't do it. Maybe that's, you know, his religion allowed him to do that. His culture allowed him to do that. That's fine. You know? But for me, I can't do that. For me, in my religion, my vocabulary, my dictionary, my system, I don't do stuff like that. So if we can't understand this concept and we accept it, because we kind of living in a very different life in 21st century today with the globalization, with basically people start melting together. You know, I understand there is positivity of that, a lot of positive side of that, but also at the same time, in the end of the day, we understand that this is something I can't do it as a Muslim. You know, this is something maybe you can, but I, as a Muslim, I don't do that. And there is nothing shame of that or wrong with that. The next hadith, so he's talking about utensils, this chapter. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دبغ الإهاب فقد طهر. تبغى تقرأ عبد الله؟ The translation.
Narrated Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when the skin is tanned, it becomes purified. Reported by Muslim. Al-Arba'a have the words, any skin that is
tanned. Arba'a means the four.
Yeah, any skin that is tanned.
The four here means the Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Al-Madi, these four books of hadith reported. Uh-huh. Say the, what did they say? Any skill?
Any skin that is tanned. That's, yeah. So any skin that is tanned becomes purified.
Okay. The next.
Narrated Salama bin al-Muhabbiq radiallahu an, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the tanning of a dead animal's skin purifies it. Reported by Ibn Hibban, graded it sahih, sound.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Narrated Maimuna radiallahu anha, some people dragging a dead goat passed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told them, had you better taken its skin? They said, it is dead. He said, water and the leaves of the acacia tree will purify it. Reported by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i.
That's it. Thank you. This group of ahadith is speaking about the issue of tanning the skin. What this has to do with utensils? The chapter is about utensils. What's tanning the skins has to do with utensils? Utensils. They use it to do what? To make utensils. You know, a lot of utensils made actually of skins that animals' skins, even things like plates, containers, you know, where they put the water, when they contain their wine, where they contain, in the old days, contain their food. Many containers are made. The most common utensils at that time of the Prophet ﷺ made of two elements. Either it's made of wood or made of skin. The animal's skin. Okay? That's mainly. They basically take the tan skin and they made spoon out. They will make spoon out of it. They will make, like, you know, things to pick food with it. So they will use it in very different ways. So here, that's why he's talking about the rules of this. What's the ruling when it comes to these utensils that made of animals' skins? And for us today, animal skins are mainly used not for food or utensils, are made for what? Clothes, we use it for purses, shoes, you know, still animal skins play a role. Let's say balls are made of basketball, football, or made of animal skins. Animal skins used in many different formats today. Pouch for water, very good. طيب. So the first hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا دُبِغَ الْإِهَابُ فَقَدْ طَهُرْ. When the skin is tanned, it becomes purified, reported by Muslims. And another hadith, any skin that is tanned, it become purified. It becomes purified. Any skin. If there's any difference between the two format, any skin or when the skin is, linguistically. What's the difference? Very good. The skin, referring to a specific type of skin, maybe a specific type of animal, that's right. But any skin, that's a very general term. And that's exactly why this imam narrated this hadith two ways. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا دُبِغَ الْإِهَابِ. The word ihab, tanning, you know what's tanning, that's right. Tanning is a very common procedure known from Asian time to convert an animal skin into leather by subjecting it to chemical process. In the old days, they used salt, they used the sun, they used certain simple tips to make that transformation from the animal skin to be leather that you see today. And today, this process became very advanced. This process is based on what? Purifying the skin from all the blood, everything attached to it. That's right. All the bad smell to go away. All the rutuba, the scholar used to call it the, it's not wet, it became dry. That's right. It doesn't have the wetness of the animal, became very dry. That's the procedures. And today, all the skins, all the leather that we use today, if it's animal leathers, are been through that process. So that's tanning. What's the word tanning? Ihab. He translated here to the skin. And in another narration, he said, any skin. The word ihab, like, sounds like kitab, the same rhyme. It means literally the skin of, and here you will find the Muslim, or the Arab, not Muslim, the Arab linguistic scholars debate. What this word refer to exactly, ihab? Some said it means the skin of the animal before it tan. So after you tan it, you don't call it ihab anymore. Okay? So any animal's skin is not tanned yet, we call it, any animal skin not tanned yet, we call it ihab. That's why the Prophet, when you tan the ihab, when you tan that skin, you make it a leather, if I may use this word. The other said, no, the word ihab, it means before or after. Other said, no, the word ihab, okay, only referring to the skin of the animal that was slaughtered Islamically. And that means the only animals that you are allowed to slaughter Islamically, like what? Sheep, goat, anything like that. Sheep, goat, camels, cows, you know, deer, stuff of that. You're allowed to hunt, or you're allowed to, basically you're allowed to eat. Is that clear? Type question. If some scholar, would say that the word ihab here means only the animal that you're allowed to eat. That means the limiting the use of skin, animal skins, only to the what? To the animals that you're allowed to eat. Because where they come with this idea? Because linguistically that's what this hadith means to them. But the correct opinion, no. Any animal skins, before it's tanned, it called ihab. And the other hadith, any skin, it means all type of animals. If you tan their skins became what? Pure. As simple as this. That's what the Prophet said. So any animals, that it doesn't matter. You are allowed to eat or not allowed to eat. It's a bear. It is an elephant. or it is any animal, the Prophet is saying. Any, a dog, a pig, okay, any animal. So the Prophet made it very clear. He said, any animal that you tan their skin, it became pure. That's what this hadith stated. And it's very explicit. Also, skin of dog, skin of whatever it is. Is that pure? The Prophet ﷺ said, the tanning process will purify what? The skin. طيب. عن سلمة ابن المحبق رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he said the tanning of dead animals skin purifies it. So the word سلمة ابن المحبق, his name is سلمة ابن صخر. Okay. المحبق, his father صخر الربيعة المحبق, for those who just anyway, المحبق, it means it is very bad meaning, but it not meant to be bad. Can I say it? Not sure. المحبق literally means the one who passed gas. That's what linguistically mean. So why his father was called that? He has a lot of gas? No, they said, وَالَّذِي يَضْرُطْ يَعْنِي كَثِيرًا لَا. They said because his father, when people see him, they get terrified that they start releasing gas. They run away. That's how they, it's kind of weird, but that's what it is. Anyway, his nickname is Abu Sinan. And Sinan, they said that the Prophet ﷺ called his name because he was the Prophet ﷺ in the battlefield, and they told him, your wife just delivered a baby boy. He said, Wallahi, being with Rasulullah in this battlefield and winning the battlefield and protecting the Prophet is more beloved to me than what you just told me. And I would love to be with Rasulullah than to be next to my wife at that moment, just to be protecting the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ at that time. Anyway, this hadith is authentic. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any dead animal, the tanning of any dead animal, the tanning of the leather or the skin of any dead animal. When we say dead animals, I want you to understand the following. This is a key point. Al-mayta means the following. Any animal that we eat that die without slaughtering. So a sheep die from the heat. Okay? You driving on, going to Austin, you hit a deer, die. So anything that you are allowed to eat, but it die without slaughtering or without hunting. Okay? Number one. Number two, dead animal means, technically means, any animals that you're not allowed to eat in Islam. In Islam, we're not allowed to eat dogs. We're not allowed to eat cats. We're not allowed to eat rhinos. We're not allowed to eat elephant. We're not allowed to eat, you know, things of that nature. Pigs. So any animals you're not allowed to eat, we call it mayta. It doesn't matter how it died. Is that clear? Is that clear? So the Prophet ﷺ said, any dead animal, so any one of these two groups, you tan it through the process, it became what? Pure. This is very explicit to refute the opinion who's saying tanning only purify the skin of the animals that you are allowed to eat. Because you have some group of scholars said the only animals that tanning will purify its skin are the animals that you are allowed to eat, like deers, cows, things of that nature. But if the animal is something you're not allowed to eat, even if you tan the leather, it's still forbidden for you. You're not allowed. It's still najis. Is that clear? But this hadith reject that idea, reject that concept. Go ahead.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
So since the Prophet ﷺ said the purification of the skin of any dead animal is through tanning, it shows you the dead animal's skin is najis, is impure. Does that make sense? What will make a dead animal skin pure is this tanning. So before tanning, it is considered what? Najis, impure. Does that make sense? Are you following? Also, we mentioned Hadith Maymuna radiallahu anha that the Prophet ﷺ passed by a group of people who holding a dead sheep and dragging it. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ said, had you better taken its skin? He said, Ya Rasulullah, it's dead. Can anyone tell me? Yani, don't you think the Prophet ﷺ see that it's dead? It's obvious it's dead. They dragging a dead sheep. The Sahaba are not dumb. I know it's dead. So why did they say that? لَمَّا قَالُوا إِنَّهَا مَيْتَةٌ طَبْ مَا النَّبِي شَيْفَهَا أَصْلًا مَيْتَةٌ Why did they say it's dead? They thought because it's died without slaughter, the meat is not allowed to use, so the skin will be also not allowed to use. Okay? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, he didn't bring it here, the Prophet ﷺ said that the purification of the skin is through the cat is through the killing of the sheep. Okay? The sacrificing of the sheep. So they thought that maybe it's not allowed to use it. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, no. And he showed them how they can do that by mentioning some of the herbs and some of the chemical that they take from certain plants at that time that they used to tan the skin. Okay? So this hadith reported by Abi Dawood and Nasa'i. This hadith, there is weakness in it, but the meaning of it is absolutely correct and backed up by the hadith that we mentioned earlier in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. And that's why we believe this hadith, even the isnad, the chain of narrator, there is weakness in it, but we consider the meaning of it authentic. And al-ulama, rahimahullah, ulama al-hadith, debated. Can we call this narration Hasan or Sahih? Because it's backed up by another narration, Sahih. Because if you have hadith weak and you have a backup for it, you go to something called Hasan, acceptable. Then the upper level, the higher level is called Sahih. So can you jump two steps since the one it's backing up, it's very authentic? Some scholars said you can, some scholars said you can't. But what it seems to be strong, it's just much better to say the isnad, the chain of narrator of this narration is weak, but the text is authentic. He said a sheep, shah, could be male, female sheep, doesn't really matter, dragging it. Why are they dragging it? They're dragging it because it smells bad. It's in the middle of the street and bringing bad smells. It's a dead animal. So that's why they take, drag it to throw it somewhere away from the city, you know, just to ditch it somewhere far. The Sunnah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he suggests that you can use what? The skin of it. قَدْ تَفَعْتُمْ بِإِهَابِهَا. Okay? And again, he ihab, that shows you, you remember when we said there is a debate, ihab referred to the tanned skin or non-tanned skin. So here the Prophet referred to a skin that's not been tanned yet. مَا دُبِغْ بَعْدُ. Maytad means dead. It's not been slaughtered. Then in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the water and the sleeve will purify it. So that means it is najis, but you can purify it. Al-ulama rahimahumullah debate over the skin of a dead animal. Is the impurity of it something that happened to it, or the skin in itself is impure, so it's impossible to be purified? I give you example. You take that a piece of wood or cloth, and you put in it a blood or urine, so that cloth became what? Impure. That's right? Impure. So that means if you wash it, it goes back to what? Purity. But there are certain things, they are in themselves impure. You cannot purify it. Like what? Like, sorry for the example, the urine or the feces itself. If you wash it, still impure. That's right? The blood. If you wash it, still, the blood itself is impure. So this hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ said, use that leaf and water and do that process, you will purify the skin. So that shows you that the skin can be going back to the original state, which is that, which is the purity. Is that clear? You bring it back to the original state. How you bring it back? In the normal circumstances, you bring it back to original state of purity through washing it with water or sand. But in the skin of dead animals or animals in general, the dead animals, the only way to bring it back to that state of purity is by what? Tanning. Is that clear? That's how the Prophet ﷺ basically, that's what we understand from this word. If someone here push the envelope a little bit farther, would say, what's the original state of the skin of pigs? Impure. That's why they said pigs are impure. Sorry, is the impurity of the pigs related to the laham, to the meat, or to the skin as well? أو لحمة خنزير فإنه رجس. We say rijs is a description to the meat of the pig. Rijs, impure. Impure is a description to the meat or description to the pig. الصحيح في لغة العرب, what's common in Arab, the al-wasf, the description goes to the closest name, which is pig. So the rijs is a description of the pig, not to the meat. That's why al-ulama said, al-khinzir huwa rijs. So that's why type the Prophet Allah mentioned the meat? Because that's the common use. The people usually use pigs for meat. That's the common use for it. So Allah want to say that is not Allah because that's something impure. Because of that, Mahmud, some ulama said, tanning the skin of the pigs will not purify it. Because the default rules of it, the original state of it is najis, impure. But some scholars said no. the Prophet ﷺ said a general term. He said, any skin of any animal will be purified through the process of tanning. That's why you have two opinions among the scholars. Some said, except pigs, and some said, even including pigs. I do believe that both opinions are very strong, even a more lenient toward the opinion that pig skins can be purified if it goes through the process, the tanning process, because the hadith is general. And the ayah is very general, and the hadith is very specific, saying this is, yes, it is impure, but except in the case of tanning, because the hadith said that. And usually in ilm al-fiqh, we don't contradict umum ma'a khusus, generality with specific. So here the hadith very specifically saying that tanning is the only exception to the case. But what about dogs? You mentioned something about dogs earlier. I don't believe that dogs are impure, first of all. Even though this is an opinion of some scholars, but we studied that before, that dogs are not impure. That's why we said if you pat a dog, your hand is not impure. Okay? So the original state of the skin of dogs are... Guys, I'm not suggesting in any way kill dogs and use their skins. You know, it's not... That's disgusting in itself. But, you know, I'm not like... But I'm talking about... If somebody tell me, hey, I bought a wallet from China and it has this, I wouldn't buy it because I don't want to support such actions. But we talk about technicality, just the issue of technicality here. Yes. Can we hold on to this? Because I want to talk about the skin first. Then we talk about the, you know, the fat of the animals and stuff like that. Later. So if I want to classify this, the animals, we say the skin of any animal that we are allowed to eat, okay, that it was slaughtered or hunted in right way, it is a pure skin by the consensus of the Muslim scholars. Hunted or slaughtered, the skin of that animal that you're allowed to eat is pure by consensus of the scholars. The skin of any animals, okay, that never was slaughtered, it's a dead animal, and it's not tainted, it is najis, according to the majority of the scholars, except Imam al-Zuhri, believe all animal skins are pure, it doesn't matter tainted or not. But we mentioned the hadith earlier, it goes against that opinion. As for the opinion, the type of animals that we're not allowed to eat and it's not slaughtered slaughtered, okay, after tanning, there also can be two categories. So an animal that it is not slaughtered but tanned, the skin of it tanned. If it's something that we eat, like sheep, rabbit, but didn't slaughter it, we find it dead, gazelle, anything like elk, anything like that, if you tan it, it became pure. And that's the vast majority of the vast majority of the ulama. And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, disagreed with that, and some Maliki said, Imam Ahmad, in one narration, said, no, if it's dead, you can touch it, even if you tan it. That's the famous opinion in the Hanabira. But this is the hadith that we said earlier. And the hadith that Imam Ahmad based his argument on it, hadith Abdullah ibn Ukaym, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not utilize the dead animals in any form from the dead animal, anything, la ihab wa la asab, not skin or anything. This hadith is weak, as Imam ibn Abdul Barr wa al-Baghawi wa ibn al-Arabi and many scholars said it's weak hadith. But what about the animals that is dead, never been slaughtered, and also we're not allowed to eat it? Like what? Like snakes, skins, like alligators, fox, bear skins, tigers. We don't eat stuff like that. if it's tanned, are we allowed to use it? The Shafi'i, the Hanafi, said, yes, you're allowed to use it. The Hanbali and some Maliki said, no, it will not be purified. And I told you about the dog and the pigs. The pigs, the four madhahib said, even if you tan it, you're not allowed to use it. The Shafi'i, the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Hanbali. Okay. And some scholars, especially Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, and others, Abu Yusuf among the Hanafis, Shawkani, and other scholars, said it is allowed to use the pig skins if it is tanned. If you want to be with the Jumhur, with the majority of the scholars, stay away from it. It will be much better for you. Especially don't use it while you are in Salah. I believe it is purified by tan. You don't eat this. Huh? No. That's not tanned. Hada ma dubigh. Chips is not tanned. No, it's like a wallet. Can you use the wallet made of pigskin? Can you play football with a football made of pigskin? That's tanned. Dubighat. Can you use many purses? Most of the purses and the shoes made of pigskins. Are you allowed to use that? The majority of the scholars said no, because still not pure. But some will say it is purified through the tanning, and that's the opinion that I go with. It is allowed. If you want to be just absolutely on the safe side, just stay away from it. If you want to be absolutely on the safe side, you can avoid it. But as I said, the hadith is general, even though Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, said the ulama agreed that this hadith general, but there is exception when it comes to the pig skins. But again, this is an issue of ikhtilaf and different opinions between the scholars, rahimahumullah ta'ala. See, those who believe it is still impure, they will say, those who believe it's impure, they will tell you, just don't use it. Like, let's say the scholar who believe it is still impure, they will tell you, don't use it in the salah, and don't use it to contain liquids. But you're allowed to use it, even if it's najis, outside the salah, and to contain things which is not liquid. Like, for example, if it's a purse, you put in it stuff that's not liquid, items. They said it's allowed. If it's liquid, they said it will be impacted by the skin and affect the taste of it, so it will make it najis. Is that clear, guys? So even al-ulama اللي يقولون بنجاسة الخنزير إذا دبغ قالوا يجتنب في الصلاة, you avoid it in صلاة, تجتنب في الصلاة, and تجتنب في المائعات. Okay? So you avoid it in these two. I want to make sure also to understand that most of the leathers that we use today are artificial ones, are not coming from animals, so you don't need to worry about it. Mainly it's from chemical and, you know, petrochemical stuff that they make it, and they make the leather from it. Also, I want to say that somebody maybe will ask about a hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, do not sit on a skin of wild animals like lions, bears. Do we have a word in English for these type of animals? As-siba. Huh? Carnivores? No, but hunting, you still hunt turkey. I know, just hold on. Let me finish. So anyway, these kind of tigers and stuff like that, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade sitting or praying on it, for not because of the impurity, if it's tanned, it is because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is a form of arrogance. It's like not allowed because it's a form of arrogance. Finally, I want to say that this hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he saw them dragging the sheep, the dead sheep, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, use the skin of it. فيه دليل على أن كل شيء يمكن أن يستفاد منه ينبغي ألا يهدر. This hadith shows you that if you can utilize something, don't waste it. So this sheep, it's dead, but you still can utilize that skin. So don't get it to waste. You can skin it and use it for yourself or somebody use it. So this is a lesson for us that anything of have a value, it should not be wasted. Unfortunately, we live in a culture where wasting is something very common. America wastes more than any other nation in the face of the earth, as far as I know. It's our culture became that we waste a lot of food, a lot of money, a lot of things. And we need to change that culture, because wasting is not a good habit. It shows disrespect to the favor and the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yarzuqna iyyakum fiqh fi ad-din. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. A businessman who have a shop, can he buy the skins of pigs for the purpose of tanning it? No. Because you're not allowed to buy or to sell pigs. Yes. But if you're academy owner and they give you all these basketball, which is from pigs, but now it purified through the process, can you sell it? Yes, because it is balls, not anymore. It's a football or whatever. If you see a shining metals in the plate, it depends on the any gold or silver, it will be engraved on the utensils. So if it's gold or silver, it will have a mark on it. You just look at it, it will, yes, you should investigate. If you're like in a fancy restaurant or stuff like that, they use a lot of fork made of pure silver or gold. If it's a jacket, you know, if you have a doubt, yes, but the default rules, it shouldn't be not. You know, I hope this is the default rules, because in modern days, actually, the common use for leather, the common leather in our stores, usually come from pigs, actually. That's the most common leather. But I do believe pig's leather go through, skins go through tanning, it became pure. So for me, I wouldn't ask. Toothpaste. If it has some fat from the pig, no, it should be avoided. It's a different case.